What's up, everybody? Welcome to episode 11 of Peach State Prospects, a podcast dedicated to the Atlanta Braves minor league system. As always, my name is Gaurav and I am your host. Joining me today is none other than the Twitter juggernaut, Garrett Spain, better known as Braves MILB again on X. Garrett, how are you doing today?
I am doing all right. How are you, man?
Living life. It's unbelievably hot here. So doing whatever I can to stay warm, or not stay warm, stay cool, but also not drive myself crazy staying inside. It's a very delicate balance. So on our agenda for today, we're going to do things a little different this week. Instead of marching through our players of the week, we're instead going to talk about some of these big storylines from this past week. From there, we're going to continue our player spotlight series with a focus on Drake Baldwin. So let's go ahead and get things started. Again, instead of players of the week, we're going to kick things off with talking about some of these more significant plot lines. The first one being Drake Baldwin and Nacho Alvarez getting promoted to AAA. Through five games for Nacho, he's got a 1.326 OPS up in AAA. Drake Baldwin, we'll go again. This episode is dedicated to him, so we'll go into him a little more. But both those guys got moved up from Mississippi, who we don't know if it's related to the move, but had to actually move their home series because of flooding on their field. It could have contributed to the promotion, but Drake and Nacho have got off to fantastic starts for the Stripers. Want to talk about Isaiah Drake and his month of June. Isaiah, as we all know, struggled mightily to begin the season. Got a little hurt, had a few rehab appearances in the FCL where he wasn't that great. But since the month of June started, he has looked significantly better. As of June 18th, the recording time of this episode, Isaiah is up to an 831 OPS in the month and looks like someone who is one healthy and again looks a lot better than he did at the beginning of the season. Moving on from there, Jeremy Reyes, who we've talked about on this podcast a ton, made his Augusta debut. In that game, he pitched five innings, three hits, one earned run, did have an issue with a little bit of the command, had four walks, and struck out two. Converted outfielder Caden Morton, who now is they're trying him out as a pitcher, and he got moved up to Augusta, had his best start, I would say, of his young pitching career. He threw five innings, five hits, two runs, but one earned, struck out three, and walked two. From there, we talk about Lucas Braun's amazing performance last week. Now, we've talked about Lucas on this podcast a lot. We're definitely going to have an episode dedicated to him probably here in the short term. But Lucas last week struck out, went seven innings, four hits, zero runs, zero walks, and an absurd 12 strikeouts. From there, Drew Hackenberg had a great bounce back performance. He put together the past two outings had not been great. He struggled giving up runs, was not progressing really that far into games. But last week, 6.2 innings, three hits, two earned runs, two walks, and six strikeouts. Blake Burkhalter, we talked about him just last week. He continued his re not rehab, but he continued getting back into baseball form, made another start. 3.1 innings, six hits, one earned runs, zero walks, and two strikeouts. Also from the mound, Luis Vargas continued his fantastic year. And let's be real, the start he's had in Rome is absurd. He's appeared in two games, has a 0.79 ERA, a 470 OPS against. He's striking out 10 per nine and walking under one. Now he's got one walk over these two games. Going from the mound over to the other side of the plate, Luis Guanipa had his first home run last week. He's got a double today. His OPS of this moment is 1.181. He looks great in the spring breakout game, looking great at the plate now. It's only a matter of time before we see him in Augusta as well. Of note and of significant note, we had an appearance from J.R. Richey. He had his first rehab appearance this year. Looking forward to seeing him progress and get back and onto the Augusta team where we can really look at where he is and kind of see exactly what he has to offer. Again, it is coming off of Tommy John surgery, so don't expect any crazy numbers. We're just thrilled to see him healthy and back on that mound. And of note happening right now, Ian Anderson. Yes, that Ian Anderson made his first rehab appearance for the FCL Braves, appeared in two innings, struck out four, zero hits. And what's cool is we have someone that actually was at the game, and Ian, we have some readings from that game. Ian was 93 to 95 on his fastball. His changeup was sitting at 88. He was throwing a slider from 82 to 84, and his curveball was coming in at 78 to 81. Amazing to see him back on the mound. Amazing to see those numbers on the mound as well. That all said, Garrett, I want to go to you. What else do you have for us?
Yeah, so with Nacho up at AAA, kind of interesting that he went up and immediately hit two home runs after not doing it all at Mississippi. I think a lot of that one is, I mean, the environment in Mississippi is terrible. But I mean, we've seen some swing changes there that I'm really impressed with. Obviously, at some point we will have a Nacho Alvarez episode, so we'll get into that then. But I've definitely liked kind of the swing changes that he's made, and it seems like he's a little bit more explosive. But I think Isaiah Drake is the really interesting one that we've seen this year because he looked so bad earlier in the year. And now, even when he has his bad days, he had an 0 for 5 the other day. And at bat by at bat, he's hitting the ball hard, making contact, even in lefty lefty matchups. So, kind of seeing him, you know, he's closed off his front hip where he was really flying open early in the year. And he's turned into a guy that's really hitting the ball extremely well. And, you know, that progression from him, you know, I know we talked about kind of a guy that people around the organization like, and you see progression like that from a guy, it takes a lot of work to do that. And it seems like he's really put in the work. You know, I've mentioned, and then of course, Lucas Braun, I've mentioned before, I think that really that's a guy that you target possibly being in Atlanta next year. He has four pitches that are possibly major league quality, you know, and he really doesn't struggle. You know, a lot of times when you get these later draft picks that are kind of have a good secondary, they tend to not have very good fastballs, and that's not why they went high in the draft. You know, in Braun's case, he's sitting 94 to 95, and I'll ask you about this. I think I know the answer. He needs to be in double A, right? Like, he's way too good for high hitters at
Without a
this
doubt.
point.
No. Without a doubt. You need, especially if you're going to go through 7 innings of 12 strikeouts and only give up four hits. Like, that screams to me you are pretty much too good for that level, and he needs to face more experienced hitters to really get to see what he has to offer.
Right. And he has a 2.15 FIP over his last six outings, which is absurd. Very good. You know, we're kind of worried that maybe they're kind of avoiding double A right now for these guys, but he's a guy that I could see going up really quickly. And then, of course, Guanipa, I definitely think we're going to see him in single A this year, which is very quick for a guy. Typically, they don't push up those 18-year-olds that quick. If they do end up pushing him to single A, that's going to be a guy that they obviously feel confident in, and a guy who, when we saw him early in the year in spring breakout, he looked good. His swing looks good. He's really cut off a lot with his whiff rates this year. And that's, you know, the huge step for him was swing decisions. Don't swing and miss so much. He's doing that. And if we see him in single A this year, I think that he's going to be a guy that I very confidently, that's possibly, you know, once these pitchers graduate, he's probably the guy that could end up being, you know, the number one guy in the system. He's just that level of talent.
Yeah, you're totally right there, Garrett. I agree with you. You know, when you have players that close to the major leagues, it's tough to be able to put a great hire on a prospect that's literally 18 years old. But from what we've seen from the videos, from the literal just sound of when he's able to make contact with the ball, that's a special player. And I, like you, expect him in Augusta really sooner than later. And I actually wanted to touch on this subject as well. It is, like you said, typically when you have international players and they're 18, you get a full season in complex ball. But now we're seeing possibly, you know, Jeremy Reyes, possibly Luis Guanipa, and then another Venezuelan, Luis Aristigueta, who has four pitch mix, has been really great for the FCL Braves. Are you seeing a possible change in trend for the Braves, Garrett? Or would you say it's just the quality of these players where they are having such great seasons, we're seeing such great work from them that they are forcing the Braves to change their philosophy and have them experience full season ball that first year?
The Braves tend to be aggressive, and in the past, a lot of times, a guy like Ozzie Albies got up to single A as a 18-year-old. I think it's just a case of with the sanctions, there just haven't been those guys lately that have been that good. But you look last year, Didier Fuentes got up at 17, and he didn't look very good, but he's come up this year at 18, and he's been fantastic. It seems like they're really, obviously, now that they have the money, they are getting in the quality of players that can get up very quickly. And you look at guys like Taveras and Benitez, they were delayed, but a lot of that too was they were kind of right in around the pandemic. And of course, Taveras was hurt. So I don't know if that was necessarily a trend the Braves were doing on purpose. It was just a matter of they didn't really have guys that looked like they were ready. Whereas right now, it seems like they're getting back on track in terms of developing those guys.
Make a great point. Those international sanctions really, you could, especially right now with the current crop that the Braves have in the major leagues, you're missing a lot of that depth from those international signings. And it's great to see some of these players start to, move forward now. But those years without those signings really, really affected the Braves. And you don't have that, those quality of international players higher on the prospect list just because the Braves couldn't sign them. But encouraging to see it. We've heard rumors about, the 2025 internet key international signing. There's a lot to like. It's exciting again to be a Braves minor league guy because you are getting some of these now more well-rounded classes versus having to hit in the draft. Thank
Oh,
you for that,
also,
Garrett. Oh, yeah.
Nacho just hit his third home run.
What?
So, yeah, it was he barely got it out. It was 92 and a half, and he barely cleared that short wall in Charlotte. He didn't hit it that good, but he third home run already.
These guys must have just hated Trustmark Park. I know everyone does, but
Yeah.
like these guys in particular, they had like 600 OPSs and then they come to Gwinnett and are absolutely raking right now. That is crazy. But also have to mention Drew Lugpower and what he did at Trustmark Park. Pretty
22
sure
home
he would hit
runs.
like I'm pretty sure he'd have like 70 homers in the majors if he was up there. Just crazy, crazy stuff. Well, to get on to the main event, we wanted to dedicate this up, not dedicate, we want to focus this episode on Drake Baldwin, who we talked about a little last week and is really putting together another really solid season. So a little more about Drake Baldwin. In high school, he was a two-sport star. He played both baseball and hockey. He was the number four recruit in the state of Wisconsin back in 2019, the number two catcher. And his junior year in high school, he also led the state with 43 goals scored. Now, of course, Drake did end up going to Missouri State College, where his freshman year, he appeared in 17 games and had an 803 OPS. He was walking 10% of the time, striking out 6%. That was the COVID year. Didn't have a lot of playing time. Came back his sophomore year, played in 43 games where he had an 857 OPS. He walked 9% of the time, and he did see that strikeout rate rise to a grand total of 11.7%. His junior year is when he really put his name on the map. This is when he really raised his draft stock. He appeared in 60 games. Had 1,094 OPS, hit 19 homers, drove in 70 runs. He actually walked and struck out at the exact same rate at 13%. And what's crazy enough is he reached safely in 57 of those 60 games that he appeared in. He ended up being the highest drafted catcher in school history for Missouri State. Some of his accolades are pretty crazy. He was team MVP. He won the MVC Elite 17 Award. What that is was meant that he had the highest GPA in the league championship game. He was labeled to the all tournament team. He was a first team scholar athlete, rookie of the year. He was on the honor roll all 3 years of college, and he accepted the Academic Excellence Award both in 2020 and 2021. Extremely well-rounded individual. Again, two sports star, a lot to like about Drake. So what did this result in? Well, in the 2022 draft, he was the 143 ranked player. Well, the Braves liked him a lot more than that. They took him in the third round, which is overall the 96th pick. and gave him a signing bonus of $635,000. He could have gone back to college if he really wanted to. He had another 2 more years of eligibility, really, but that was enough to get Drake to sign with the Braves. That rookie year, that first year in professional ball, he appeared in 3 games in the FCL and had a 1,025 OPS. The Braves were like, "That's enough. Let's get you up to Augusta." Where in Augusta, he appeared in 21 games and had a 680 OPS. Now, this was again that year where he's played the most he had in his life, the 60 games before any kind of tournament in college, another 3 in the FCL, and then 21. So you can imagine that body must have been feeling real beat down. So in 2023, he comes back, starts the year off with Rome, plays 92 games for Rome, and has a great 851 OPS. That was good enough to get him promoted to Mississippi, where he appeared in 14 games and had a 786 OPS before the season ended. But because that AAA season goes a little longer, he was then moved to Gwinnett, where he appeared in 3 games and had a 917 OPS. Now, we talked about that bat a whole lot. When he's actually behind the plate, he did throw out 28 runners in 2023 with a caught stealing percentage of 30%. All he's done this year in 2024, he's appeared in 52 games for Mississippi, where again, like I said earlier, wasn't really knocking the cover off the ball with a 650 OPS. But ever since he got promoted to Gwinnett, he's appeared in 5 games and had 1,200 OPS. So never in doubt is that offensive ceiling. Good to see him struggle early, turn things around, and now he's off to an amazing start. Garrett, I want to go to you. What do you have us about Drake Baldwin's hitting trends and mechanics?
Yeah, it was definitely a turnaround for him this year compared to last year. We had a ton of the biggest question for him was always his contact. Even when he was in college, his biggest question was, can he make contact? Can he stick behind the plate? This year, he's been fantastic at making contact at a very high rate. It's really been his best skill. And one of the big things with that is he's made significant changes to his mechanics where he tended to hold, he held his bat very high above his head, and there was a lot of movement pre-pitch for him, a big load and a big timing sequence for him. He's lowered his hands, but in lowering his hands in his setup, he's not actually dropping his hands as far as he used to when he loads up. So he's swinging a little bit more down. So he does tend to get a little bit more loft on his swing, and he has a very quick swing. So with the simpler swing, he's not closing his body off as much. So he's seeing pitches better. So with that quick swing, he's really able to make contact in all areas of the zone. Because of that short bat path, he tends to really only have a lot of power pull side. He lifts the ball well pull side, anything on the inner half, he's going to pull it. He can get it up in the air. He can hit home runs there. He did have an opposite field home run in Gwinnett, but typically when the pitcher works away from Baldwin's body, he tends to be a little bit more slappy with the swing. It's more line drives, more ground balls the opposite way. And that's not necessarily typically what we see from Braves prospects. The Braves want their players lifting the ball, pull side, and lifting the ball to all fields and trying to hit home runs. Baldwin isn't necessarily doing that the opposite way very much. He tends to struggle against left-handed pitching a lot. But he's made some pretty major mechanical tweaks that have helped with his contact rates and without really sacrificing power. Because you look, and obviously his power numbers are down, but when you compare it to league trends and when you compare it to the fields that he's been playing in, his power numbers haven't been that bad. He has 6 home runs in 57 games this year. Over the course of a full season, that's in the 15 home run range, which especially playing in that park in Double A, that's a lot. So we've seen a lot of improvements from him offensively. He obviously, everybody we've talked to talks loves him in terms of the way he handles a pitching staff, the way he's improved a lot with his framing. He's improved a lot with his throwing. You mentioned his 30% caught stealing rate last year. He's been a lot more accurate and he's been quicker out of his crouch this year in terms of throwing. So he's really improved all facets of his game fairly quickly, and he's turned out to be a really great draft pick.
There's certainly a lot to like about Drake. For me, actually, you know what? I'm going to pause on that because there's another, we'll go into that here on these questions. As always, when we go through our overall scouting report, I'd love to hear from you and Joe, but it'll be yourself and myself. Garrett, What do you need to see? What adjustments or what do you in general need to see from Drake to declare him ready for the big leagues?
I think the big thing with him is really seeing that upper level pitching and seeing upper level breaking balls and seeing how he handles that from a chase perspective. When he's gotten in trouble, it's either being too aggressive in the zone or especially too aggressive out of the zone. Now, he's improved a lot this year with regards to chasing. He isn't chasing as much, especially breaking balls, but he has struggled with that at times, especially against left-handed pitching. And so how he handles AAA breaking balls. Right now, he's been being fed fastballs quite a bit. Most of his hits have come on fastballs. And so you've seen good success in that regard. But hitters are going to challenge him with breaking balls, challenge him with sliders. And it's going to be important to see how he handles laying off those pitches more specifically, because he was a guy that early in the year kind of struggled with his walk rates. And he even was striking out a lot more towards the beginning of the year simply because he was taking when he shouldn't, swinging at pitches that he necessarily shouldn't. But we've seen improvements in that regard. So for him, I think the biggest thing is those chase rates, making sure they stay kind of where they were at double A and in terms of hitting. But I think overall, you're just looking at those minor improvements to kind of iron things out at triple level. Just those little bits of framing, the bits of how to handle a pitching staff. And he's learning from a great guy in Chad Trump to teach that. A veteran guy who gets high ratings in all of those regards. And then, offensively, again, kind of around the edges, how do you handle the approach? Talking about on the outer half, how do you hit for more power on pitches on the outer half of the plate? How do you handle getting the pitches that you want and maybe not necessarily swinging it just because it's a fastball on the outer half? Don't necessarily swing at that pitch, and make sure to get fastballs in your zone more often. So you're looking at little refinements from him, but I think overall what we've seen from him is a guy that at this point, if enough injuries happened and the Braves said, okay, we have to bring this guy up to the major leagues, I think he's at a point right now where you would say, okay, I think he can handle it. Is he going to be a great catcher at this point in time? Probably not, but he's a guy that already I would feel is a serviceable big leaguer and has a much higher ceiling if he continues to really refine his approach and his defensive mechanics.
Garrett, I absolutely agree with everything you said. I've been vocal about this, but I do believe his floor is MLB catcher. Now that role might not be, starting catcher or something like that, and that'll go into our next question. But I've seen enough from Drake where I do believe, defensively and with being able to call a game plan for a pitcher, like he is ready there. But like you said, how he handles breaking pitches, especially advanced breaking pitches from, these AAA quad A players remains to be seen as something that's going to be really important in his overall role into, again, is he a backup? Is he that third catcher? Or is he, someone that can really take over the bulk? That being said, one fascinating stat to keep an eye on for this year for Drake is his contact percentage, which is the percent of contact made when he's swinging at pitches, is at an insane 91%. That is truly special. That is truly elite. And when we see those breaking balls coming, if it's staying at that rate, that's going to change his profile completely. Moving on to question two, Garrett. What is your timeline to the majors for Drake, and what role does he play?
I think it's very possible we see him next year. I think at this point, with having three catchers on the 40-man roster, there would have to be quite a few injuries to really get down to Baldwin this year. So I think you could definitely see him next year in terms of the first time a guy goes down with injuries, because there's injuries at the catcher position every year. It's very hard for a guy to really stay healthy for 162, much less have two guys stay healthy for 162 games as a catcher. So you'll probably see him next year, possibly in that third catcher role. They still, if Trump, Chadwick Trump is still around, he could still be in that role. But you could see him up next year. And then I think it all kind of depends, it's specifically with Atlanta. If he stays with Atlanta, he's not traded. It will just be a matter of when Travis d'Arnaud decides to retire. I think it's Travis d'Arnaud's job until he decides he's done. After that point, I think Drake will be in a good position to come in and take over in that backup role. I don't see him, obviously, I don't ever see him being as good as Sean Murphy. That's would be a very incredible projection if anybody felt like that. But if you're talking about a guy that From what we've seen, both from a scouting perspective and a statistical perspective, he is much better against right-handed pitchers. He hits the ball harder, he strikes out less. And so that's a good position to be in because most pitchers are right-handed and the starting catcher is right-handed. So you could slide him in as a left-handed hitting backup that you really only ever start against right-handed pitchers. That's a really good role for him to play at the major league level where he can come in and get 50, 60 starts a year, and you feel like, especially if you're able to crowd those all against right-handed pitching, that's a guy that could hit right-handed pitching at a well above average rate, 115, 120 type WRC plus player at a peak, and play average to maybe solid average defense. That's a very valuable player. Now, the question's going to be, he won't be the primary guy in Atlanta. If another team feels like he is the primary guy, he could, again, because two-thirds of the time, something like that, you're going to face right-handed pitching as the starter. He could go to another team and get the bulk of the starts there as a left-handed hitting catcher, and then you're kind of looking at trade value from that perspective. And there may be another team that values him in that role enough to trade away a player the Braves need, because it seems like the Braves have needs at the major league level right now with all the injuries. So I do think that he could be a starter. I don't think he's going to be ever, again, one of those top-end starters that you really feel like is good enough to give you 120 games and you're confident to always throw him out there. I do think that he's mostly going to be limited to a platoon role. I think he'll be a very good platoon player and then kind of fit in as a, bottom half of the league starter or a very, very good backup. And I think if that's your backup catcher, what we've seen from Drake Baldwin, I think that's a very valuable player and a player that the Braves are gonna love having around for a lot of time because it seems like, great clubhouse presence as well. Good hitter, good defender. That's all you can really ask for out of a backup catcher, and he would be a very great in that role.
Couldn't agree with you more there, Garrett. Like you, I think his timeline is next year. That role, especially like you said, if he's traded, I think he's a starts off as a backup catcher as he continues to progress and just improve and work on his things on the offensive side of the plate. He's an extremely valuable player, and while these kinds of players don't necessarily hit top 100, top 100 lists, they have extremely long playing careers because they're able to do so much on the field in a premium position. There's so much to like about Drake Baldwin. I'm extremely high on him. Again, I do believe his floor is a major league catcher, and being able to slap down on someone who's had, 2 years really of professional experience at the catching position, just fantastic. And like we've said, highly intelligent. Works extremely well with the rest of the team. By all accounts, pitchers love throwing to him. He's someone to look on to really focus on this upcoming trade deadline to see if he remains within the organization. And if he does, can't wait to watch him over in Atlanta. Well, that is all we have for this week's episode. Thank you so much for tuning in. Next week, we will change gears and start to talk and get everyone ready for the MLB draft, because that's coming up in just, I think it's like 3 weeks or something like that. And then we have a treat for you. That first week of July, we'll have Baseball America's very own Carlos Collazo joining us, where we're going to talk again all things MLB draft, and with the focus on with the focus on the Atlanta Braves. From the Peach State Prospects crew, I'm Gaurav. He's Garrett. Thank you so much for listening to us this week, and we look forward to you guys joining us next week.